This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield. So, Meghan McCain goes after Congresswoman Ilhan Omar on The View, and all hell breaks loose.
Now, yesterday, The View's Meghan McCain had an emotional reaction to Congresswoman Omar's very incendiary, virulent anti-Semitic statements. Take a look.
The freshman Democrat retweeted an Al Jazeera host who said this. Meghan's late father literally sang, "Bomb, bomb, bomb, Iran," and insisted on referring to his Vietnamese captors as blank. He also, lest we forget, gave the world Sarah Palin, he wrote. So a little less faux outrage over a former refugee-turned-freshman representative, please.
Which got us to wondering, a daytime chat show populated with B-plus list celebrities has become a center of gravity for political discourse? How did that happen? And the answer is, gradually, over 22 years, with the help of a large and very devoted audience. We know this because producer Asa Chaturvedi and I met a lot of them this week on the sidewalk of Manhattan's West 66th Street, lined up to be in the studio audience of The View.
I think we're fixing to meet some really excited people.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Excited is right.
We've been here before many times.
Yes.
You stand out on the sidewalk.
Yes, we do.
In the rain.
The rain, the cold, the snow.
What?
The whole nine yards.
We stand here.
We love it.
And wait.
Massive fan of The View. I absolutely love The View. Watch it every single day. I love Whoopi Goldberg. Sister Act was the first movie I saw with a black person in it. And I absolutely love Joy Beha. She's very smart, witty, and funny. That's my lady.
Wait one second here. Are you an employee of ABC?
No, I'm not.
The show they'd come to see is sort of a mythical beast made up of different parts. It's a chat show. It's a reality show. It's a politics forum. And it's sort of a WWE morality play with protagonists, antagonists, and a lot of conflict.
Is there any of them who you can't stand?
Oh, yes.
What are you? You mean like Meghan? Is that what you're getting at? Like
I'm
Meghan
not
McCain?
Specifying anybody, but you know, Meghan is one of the women on the show.
One
quick follow-up question. Why do you hate Meghan so much?
I do, yeah. That's so funny. No, absolutely. I do not hate Meghan. And I think she adds some excitement to the show.
They had different faves, different politics, and as a group, more Y chromosomes than you might expect. But they all grooved on the same thing.
I love The View. I watch it every day.
Why?
Because it's nice to hear a bunch of strong females voice their opinions.
Which, from the day TV news icon Barbara Walters first conceived The View in 1996, was the plan all along.
I've always wanted to do a show with women of different generations, backgrounds, and views. And in a perfect world, I'd get to join the group whenever I wanted. This is that show. We call it The View.
Ramin Sotoudeh is the author of Ladies Who Punch, the explosive inside story of The View. And he's New York bureau chief for Variety. He says that The View wasn't always so politics-centric, but not because Barbara Walters didn't want it to be.
When she initially went in, she wanted to talk about very serious issues like Syria, the Middle East, things that are very highbrow and the New York Times would cover. And the daytime executives that were working with her had to convince her that the topics would have to be closer to things that you would read in the Daily Mail or the New York Post. They would need to be tabloid stories, fun stories, tawdry stories, because they didn't think the daytime audience was interested in smart news. And we've come to learn, in fact, that that wasn't the case, that wasn't true. And The View has debated everything from George W. Bush's decision to invade Iraq to Donald Trump's tax returns.
Now, in a male-dominated media world, a male-dominated world, full stop, The View was long easy to dismiss as trivial. Non-experts talking about complex issues for stay-at-home moms. And the conflict was easily dismissed, and I use this word advisedly, as histrionics. But I love what Ruth Graham had to say in Slate. I'm going to quote her here. The View is a show you watch if you want to see a former Survivor contestant debate a former professional wrestler on the morality of waterboarding. On the other hand, she continues, it's the daytime show that debated waterboarding.
In my book, I go back and I trace sort of how The View was always ahead of our culture. So in some ways, you could say the show predicted the fact that we would have our first reality TV president. It was the first show that took a reality TV show contestant with Elizabeth Hasselbeck and extended her 15 minutes of fame and gave her a job that had nothing to do with reality TV. She became the conservative co-host on the show. She became a celebrity in her own right. She was campaigning with Sarah Palin and became a huge symbol in the Republican Party. And for many people in the country that lived in red states, she was a heroine for them. Before American Idol made it cool to vote for your favorite singer, Barbara Walters was trying to audition different contestants to see who would be the best co-host after they fired Debbie Matenopoulos and they settled on Lisa Ling. So I take the stance in my book that this is actually a very influential show. It's a smart show, and it is a show that is important to us. It's not just pop culture. It's a show that mixed pop culture and politics before anyone else was doing that.
And though the cast is often a little unnervingly chummy with the political guests, and although they sometimes give oxygen to stuff they shouldn't be fiddling with, like anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theories about 9/11, these non-experts sometimes ask some pretty trenchant questions.
You're absolutely right. When John McCain was running for president in 2008, he went on The View and he was grilled so hard.
There's another ad that says that Obama was interested in teaching sex education to kindergartners. Now, we know that those two ads are untrue. They're lies. And yet you, at the end of it, say, I approve these messages. Actually, do you really approve them?
Actually, they're not lies. And have you seen some of the ads?
The New York Times had a headline the next day about how tough they were on him. And you weren't seeing George Stephanopoulos doing that to John McCain. And I would even argue that Joe Biden's interview on The View a few days ago was actually a really hard interview, even though most of the co-hosts are liberals and support him.
But I don't think anyone's ever said that I invaded their space in a way that was designed to do something other than making them feel uncomfortable, but not anything having to do with harassment or anything else.
Right, they have said that, but they have also said we'd like an apology.
Well, look,
It wasn't an easy thing for him to be on that couch getting rapid-fire questions from five ladies who were very determined to make news.
We discussed the evolution of the show and the nature of the debate. It was always programmed for, you know, some degree of conflict, but so many watershed moments involving Rosie O'Donnell, Elizabeth Hasselbeck, you mentioned, Joy Behar, Meghan McCain.
Please, I don't want to talk about Trump. We're honoring a great president
who passed. Excuse me a second, please. I want to talk about
but
the difference.
Honoring, but I'm not interested in your one issue.
I don't care what you're interested in. I'm talking.
Well, I don't care you what you're what? Interested
Damn
in
we'll
either.
We'll be right back.
Okay.
Conflict seems to have become the fuel that runs the engine. Or is that an oversimplification?
No, I think that's exactly why people are so interested in the show. The reason that there's so much conflict has to do with the fact that each of the co-hosts were famous in their own right. When you go behind the scenes, it's a very King Lear-like story in that Barbara Walters is retiring eventually from the show. And when she does, there's a real struggle for the control of the show between her daughters, which are Rosie O'Donnell and Whoopi Goldberg.
Now, the View attracted a big audience fairly quickly. But it wasn't, at least for a long time, taken very seriously necessarily in elite circles. But it did make a cultural footprint. This was from Saturday Night Live in 1998.
Some may call it a train wreck. We call it The View.
Now, Barbara, what were you doing when Nixon resigned?
I was in a hot tub with Henry Kissinger and Juliet Prowse.
Tina Fey told me in the book, when she wrote these skits, there were male cast members on the show that thought this was a completely fictional show. They had no idea what this was, and I think Tina Fey really did help put The View on the map.
On the subject of zeitgeist, national conversation, you write that the Lewinsky affair had a huge impact on The View's evolution. How?
When they were discussing what was happening in the White House, Bill Clinton's affair, the stain on the dress, nobody else was doing that on daytime television.
First of all, I would want to know, what were you thinking? That he was going to leave his wife and drop the whole thing just to marry you?
Okay, leave wife to marry you.
They were very opinionated about it. They quickly cast, you know, the good people and the bad people in the sort of Clinton impeachment saga.
The star in me wants to ask, because I have to separate the lawyer, what made you think it was okay to flash the President of the United States your underwear? Mm-hmm. I got to know that.
The underwear.
How much do you hate Linda Tripp?
It is really riveting and groundbreaking to see these women going on daytime television and really telling you what they think.
Watersheds. You could argue that the spat between Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump in 2006 was a full-on microcosm of what we're living through today.
And a preview of the 2016 election 10 years before it happened, because Donald Trump's strategy against Rosie O'Donnell was exactly the same strategy he adopted against Hillary Clinton.
Well, Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. I mean, both inside and out. You take a look at her, she's a slob. She's basically a disaster.
He attacked her. He attacked her looks, her intelligence, what she was saying. And this was all as a result of a roast on The View where Rosie did a comedic bit on the show.
He's the moral authority. Left the first wife, had an affair. Left the second wife, had an affair. Had kids both times, but he's the moral compass for 20-year-olds in America. Yeah. He's going to sue me, but he'll be bankrupt by that time, so I won't have to worry. But
she made fun of Donald Trump's hair and his finances. The other interesting thing about that day was that back in 2006, Hillary Clinton decided on that day she was going to try to soft launch her campaign for president of the United States. She was really one of the first politicians that saw the value of The View and the value of speaking to stay-at-home moms. And the Rosie Donald Trump fight completely overshadows her appearance on the show and foreshadows what happens in the 2016 election.
Earlier, I made reference to Meghan McCain's role on the show as the token conservative. Before McCain, there was Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Now, their presence on the panel is framed as inviting a spectrum of political views, which I, you know, I suppose is somewhat true. But isn't it really a contrivance to generate the conflict that we discussed?
What they learned is that the show doesn't work without that Republican. When they fired Elizabeth Hasselbeck in 2013, they wanted to move away from politics. This was Obama's second term, and they wanted to go into sort of a direction of pop culture. And what they found is 30% of the audience left with Elizabeth. And it took many years for them to find a conservative like Megan that would actually argue with the other co-hosts and debate with the other co-hosts and be a Republican on the show.
How in God's name did you do this for 10 years? I'm serious. Being the lone conservative on this show is, I always had respect for you when I first came on.
And the show doesn't work unless you actually have a Republican who comes to the table every day and pushes back against what the other co-hosts have to say.
This whole conversation is premised on a kind of shift of attitude about what The View is, which parallels a shift in attitude towards women as candidates for public office. Are these phenomena related?
I think so. What you could see in the DNA of the show, going back to the very first week, was this thesis that women should be empowered. And in fact, I think the show tried to forecast or predict a society in which women would run for the highest office in the land. Starting from week one, these co-hosts were talking about Hillary Clinton and were talking about what Hillary Clinton was doing in the White House. And they followed her career very closely through the 22 years of the show's history. And these were always women that lived their lives and lived their careers on their own terms. It's a very feminist show.
If you're a fan of The View or just a political junkie, you've noticed that one candidate and office holder after another shows up on that set. It has become a must-book destination for politicians. Are Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar more influential than Anderson Cooper or I don't know, Sean Hannity?
I think visiting The View is just as influential as visiting Iowa or New Hampshire. And the reason that the show has become so important for political candidates is that it reaches a very educated group of stay-at-home moms who care about the news and who are registered voters. And if you can change the minds of those women voters, it'll give you a boost in either a primary or general election.
Ramin, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Ramin Sotoudeh is the author of Ladies Who Punch, the explosive inside story of The View.
You let me finish?
Well, can you let me talk?
Well, can you let me finish?
Well, can you let me talk? Because it's actually your job to listen to me.
We're not going to do this. This is The View. We are five best friends with nothing in common.
Okay.
Shake your love maker.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media is produced by Alana Casanova-Burgess, Michael Lowinger, Leia Fetter, John Hanrahan, and Asta Chaturvedi. We had more help from Zandra Ellen, and our show was edited this week by executive producer Katya Rogers. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Sam Baer and Josh Hahn. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Bob Garfield.
On the Media is supported by the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.